Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there.
It's the same answer that the President of the United States gave.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
It's the same answer that many people gave.
I am not somebody who promotes same-sex marriage.
She gave an honorable answer. She gave an answer from her heart. And I think for that, she has to be commended.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
My wedding anniversary is coming up here this next weekend. You think about 22 years of this relationship that begins with two simple I do's, and then decades later, the relationship is deeper and stronger, but it's a labor-intensive thing, isn't it? A relationship like marriage, every relationship is. And when you hear Christians emphasizing things like your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, do you think the same way? Okay, this is going to be tough. This is going to be labor intensive. Jesus and I are really going to have to work on this if we're going to make it work. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the first half hour of today's program, we're going to be talking about the gospel of relationship. You hear so much of it, don't you? We're going to be evaluating that metaphor for what it is we have with our Savior Jesus Christ, and for that matter, with one another through Jesus Christ. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's May the 18th. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We have an in-studio email address. It's talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul Schluter will be our guest for the first half hour. After that, Clark Forsythe, author of the new book, Politics for the Greatest Good, The Case for Prudence in the Public Square, will join us to talk about that subject. And then in the second hour of the program, two more guests, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will join us. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll answer that question. And then in the last half hour of the program, Scott Klusendorf joins us of the Life Training Institute. We're going to get his reaction to some statements made yesterday by President Barack Obama during his commencement address at Notre Dame. He broke the subject of life, of abortion, of working together. He says, fair words, fair-minded ideas. We'll see what Scott Klusendorf has to say in about 90 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul Schluter is pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio. He's author of the blog Straight Schluter. Paul, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm a really big fan of your show, and I'm really honored that you would have me on, so thank you.
Well, we're very happy to have you. What basically is wrong with the emphasis in Pop American Christianity on a quote-unquote personal relationship with Jesus?
I think the biggest problem is that it has a tendency to jump right over the gospel. It leaves out Christ on the cross and just spends a lot of time talking about the interpersonal connection that we want to have with one another and that we want to have with, the God of our own making.
You write recently about how it's almost a perfect fit, this emphasis on relationship and the trend so common in churches nowadays to put a coffee shop someplace on the church grounds. What do you mean by that?
I love coffee shops. I enjoy sitting and drinking coffee. Coffee shops are great places for sitting and connecting with people and having conversations. But that's not really what church is all about. per se. You know, church is about God coming to us and us receiving from him his gifts of life and salvation, and to rework the emphasis so that it has to do with the time that we spend enjoying each other's company seems to take our attention away from what's most important.
Give us some examples of the way that this, as you call it, a gospel of relationship, as opposed to of a cross. Give us some examples of how this has found its way into the church.
I think there are a number of examples. You go to your average Christian bookstore, and you look at the artwork that they have displayed. Most of the time what you see is not Christ on the cross. You're hard-pressed to find a crucifix. Instead, what you find is pictures of smiling Jesuses, laughing Jesuses, you know, Jesus playing with children, these sorts of things. I suppose you could also go to books that you pick up have a tendency to emphasize relationship. You know, we could talk about The Shack that was popular. Was on the New York Times bestseller list, had a tendency to talk mostly about the relationship that the main character had with God in a kind of a weekend at the lake that that they spent together. Those are just a couple of examples. We could certainly discuss others.
You say that it jumps over the gospel and avoids, or it works perfectly well, avoiding the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Expand on that, if you would.
When people start talking about relationship, they have a tendency to talk about, I guess, kind of a psychologized view of relationships. They talk about characteristics of relationships that we should have with one another, talk about being accountable to one another, talk about being authentic with one another, being kind of vulnerable, and you know, those sorts of things. You know, the emphasis of those things is how we act and the things that we do. They are really a law emphasis. Jesus came to die on the cross for us and for our sin because we've failed at our relationships. To talk about our relationship with Christ in the way that we would talk about our relationship with our spouse, per se, or you know, or friends or children, is really to take us away from the forgiveness that Christ has earned for us on the cross.
Does it tend to shift the kind of the locale of how we think about Jesus from the objective to the subjective?
Yeah, I think totally. It has a lot to do with our experience of Jesus. It has a lot to do with our emotions and our feelings. I mentioned the book The Shack. In the book, you know, not to get into too great a detail, but his experience, his relationship with God had to do with an invitation that he got in his mailbox. I don't know about you, but Jesus never put an invitation in my mailbox. If that was my assurance and certainty that my sins were forgiven, I would be in an awful lot of trouble. Fortunately, God has given to us his forgiveness and objective means in places where he's always promised to be, so that there's no second guessing, there's no doubt. It's God's word. You know, Jesus said that he would be in his word, that he would be in baptism, that he would be in his supper for me every single time. No subjectivity at all with Jesus.
We're talking about the gospel of relationship, the parlance so common among Christians nowadays that I imagine many listening to this say, well, if that isn't what I'm supposed to have with Jesus, this kind of personal boyfriend, girlfriend, or best friend, perhaps even lover relationship, then what is there? We're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Schluter mentioned moving to the subjective. I think about it this way, folks. You say you love Jesus, and that's good. I mean, we are actually commanded to love Jesus and to obey his commandments and all of those things. But what are you in love with? Are you in love with Jesus or your experience of Jesus? There's a big difference there. I can be in love with the idea of my wife, the ideal of my wife, or the woman that I actually live with every day. What's the difference biblically between someone who says, you know, I just got a great experience when I go to church and I hear about Jesus, I just love it, and actually loving Jesus, or better put, Jesus loving you. If you care to react, our call-in number this Monday afternoon, the 18th of May, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Clark Forsythe. He's written a new book called Politics for the Greatest Good, The Case for Prudence in the Public Square. We'll find out what he means by prudence. And then, in the second hour of the program, we'll spend some time with Robert Spencer, asking the question, answering the question, is Islam a religion of peace? And then we'll get reaction to Barack Obama's statements at Notre Dame with Scott Klusendorf. Stay tuned. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Pastor Gregory Todd, Megan Akison, Ruth Weddell, Dortha Bowser, Hobert Bowser, Gurney Kolb, David Fratz, Luann Fratz, Lois Kolb, and Amy Jones. Thanks for your support.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about the gospel of relationship on this Monday afternoon here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Paul Schluter is our guest. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for May takes us straight back to the Old Testament, to one of the prophets that's not, perhaps not as well known, but no less significant, the prophet Amos. This commentary from Concordia Publishing House is written by Dr. Reed Lessing, a regular guest here on Issues Etc. You can find out more about the Concordia commentary on Amos by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can go to our website tonight and see the book for yourself, the Concordia Commentary on Amos, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Speaking of the Old Testament, Pastor Schluter, what was the quote-unquote relationship that God had with his people in the Old Testament?
Well, I guess it depends on what part of the Old Testament you're talking about. You know, God created Adam and Eve, and he had a relationship with them that was pretty incredible in the Garden of Eden. Then they disobeyed God, and all of a sudden the relationship got pretty bad. In fact, God put an angel with a flaming sword in their way, in front of them, so that they couldn't get back into the Garden of Eden. You know, beyond that, when God started to restore the relationship, he called the Israelites, the children of Israel, together. He made them his people, rescued them from slavery. He gave them the tabernacle, you know, a place where they could come and be at, you know, be with him, and that he could be among them. The only problem was that in order for that relationship to continue, something had to die. You always play the advertisement for the Brothers of John the Steadfast organization, and they talk about the sitting in your theater style seating with your double mocha latte, and that always just kind of cracks me up a little bit. And you know, it's hard to imagine theater style seating at the tabernacle when there's animals bleeding and dying in the Old Testament because of sin. Relationship was not real good, but then God restored the relationship, and God kind of began the process of putting that relationship back together.
So has anything changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? If the God of the Old Testament had a relationship with his people, but only by the way of sacrifice and the shedding of blood because of their sin, what's it like in the New Testament?
I mean, it definitely changes because of Christ, because we don't sacrifice anymore. We gather together for church on, you know, on a Sunday morning, and we are gathered together where God has called us to be, where God has promised that he would be there for us in his in the word, in his body and blood. And so we don't need to kill anything to be in a relationship with God. The New Testament calls that koinonia, calls it fellowship. It calls it us being gathered to God because of his means of grace.
All right, then, let's talk a little bit about the experience that people often have. And they would ask you, look, if I go to church and I have this tremendous experience, I'm deeply moved by the service, and I really do think that's part of my relationship with Jesus. That's really the substance of my relationship. If it's not that, these subjective feelings, then what is the relationship that I would properly have with Jesus Christ?
Those subjective feelings are good, you know, or they can be. I mean, but they come and go. Sometimes, sitting in church on a Sunday morning, you can have the you know, the words of a hymn or scripture text that just particularly strike you and even bring a tear to your eye, and that's a good thing, and that, you know, that can be, you know, that can definitely be a pious thing. But if the only thing about your relationship with God is the way that you feel, then that's kind of sad, I think, because the way you feel, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. But God's objective means are great, of grace are always there, no matter how you feel about it. For me, I find incredible comfort in that, incredible comfort knowing that, that God is in his word all the time. You know, as a pastor, sometimes pastors feel like they are left out of the relationship sometimes because Sunday mornings are work for them and they don't get the same worship experience as what everybody else does. But the thing that I always try to keep in mind is that even though my mouth is speaking the words of absolution, those words are still Christ's words for me. The objective means of grace are objective no matter who's in the church and who's saying them, who's receiving the body and blood of Christ. I mean, those things are there because Christ says that they are, and that's just a wonderful comfort.
You write, with all the misplaced talk of relationship, the result is a real tragedy. What is the tragic result of the misplaced understanding of relationship in pop American Christianity?
Well, we lose the gospel. We spend all this time talking about relationships and making promises that really don't necessarily even ever get delivered, and we don't ever talk about the good things that God gives. God's gifts of forgiveness are sure and certain every single time. If I can offer just a little bit of an illustration that I like to use sometimes, there's a movie, Good Will Hunting, and in this movie, Will Hunting is, you know, he's in a bar with a young lady, and he's competing for this young woman's affections with this other gentleman, and he receives, he's the one who gets the phone number, and so he's walking down the street and sees this other guy, and he asks him, do you like apples? And And the guy says, yeah, and he says, I got her phone number. How do you like them apples? He rejoiced that that young woman had narrowed, you know, kind of narrowed herself down, put herself down in one place so that he could talk to her, so that he could, he had some way that he could connect with her. God has done that for us. God has given to us a place where he's promised to be every single time. Every single time we are sitting there in church, God is there for us, and we don't have to wonder if he loves us, wonder if he cares for us, wonder how he's feeling about us. He has given us a guarantee, and that's just a wonderful thing.
It seems ironic that with all of the, at least the outward emphasis on a personal relationship with Jesus, how little in pop American Christianity Jesus really is the subject of the preaching, of the singing, of the prayer. How little Jesus there really is. Your thoughts on that, finally, with about a minute.
It's actually kind of ironic. You can sit in a worship service that's supposed to be worshiping Jesus and singing a song that's supposed to be worshiping Jesus. You can, in the words of the song, you can replace the name Jesus with the name of your spouse or your significant other and not have to change anything else about the song and sing it as it is. That's kind of strange to me. The wonderful thing about who Jesus is what he's done for us, and that he's given himself as our perfect sacrifice on the cross. Again, sometimes we feel, you know, that strikes us emotionally, and we really are taken aback by his great and amazing love. But sometimes we're not, and his love, his forgiveness is sure and certain, regardless of how we feel.
Pastor Paul Schluter has written a great blog post titled Christ Coffee and Freshly Baked Cookies. I'll have a large double mocha latte, a blueberry scone, and a side of Jesus. Go light on the Jesus. You'll find a link to Pastor Schluter's blog under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul Schluter is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio, and author of the blog Straight Schluter. Paul, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much.
When we come back from this break, Clark Forsyth is going to join us. He's written a new book, Politics for the Greatest Good, The Case for Prudence in the Public Square. We'll find out what the case is and why he thinks that we can, if we can't overturn Roe v. Wade, we can hollow it out. We'll find out what that means on the other side of this break. There's a growing group of congregations supporting Issues Etc. They're called the Issues Etc. 300. We'd like to find 300 congregations willing to support Issues Etc. on an annual basis in their mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. We're calling them the Issues Etc. 300, and your congregation can be one of them. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Promote, and you'll find there everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300, a flyer that you can print off for your pastor or your congregation when you ask them to be part of the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote. When we come back, we're going to talk about prudence and public policy.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org, click Promote, and publicize your congregation to the world.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Regardless of your political leanings, you'll probably agree with me, Sarah Palin is a strong advocate for America's unborn babies. Throughout the presidential campaign, she didn't hesitate when asked about her opposition to abortion. Well, she's at it again. Governor Palin signed a bill allowing the state to give birth certificates for stillborn babies. This means grieving parents don't have to fight a government bureaucracy to have the existence of their dearly loved baby acknowledged. And it's a step, albeit a small one, in the right direction of recognizing human life in the womb. These are the kinds of bills pro-abortion activists secretly hate but dare not oppose in public. And the governor's action is yet another reason why I'm such a big fan of Sarah Palin.
Life issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Sharon Langrayer, Dr. Paul Simmons, Matt Sauer, Pastor Jim Koss, Pastor Melvin Weaselow, Pastor John Dreyer, Marion Welch, Diana Darren, David Lester, and Rebecca Lester. Thanks for your support.